going to go ahead today now, and I want to go into something that is going to be very, very, very important for us today. I want you to turn with me over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, and also Hebrews 11 and 13. I want to speak on a subject entitled today, Promises That Come True. Now, how many have had a promise that has never come true, but it wasn't a promise from the Lord, it was somebody promised you something? You know, people are very good at making pie crust promises, easily made and easily broken. And we find ourselves oftentimes believing in a promise so deeply that we get our feelings broken or hurt, and we lose trust in the promise giver. I don't mean promise giver God, but the promise giver, the one who gave you the promise. You know, how many said this to another person? You've told me that many times, but you've never come through. You've promised me that, but you've never completed it. Now, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. That's what life is about, when somebody says they're going to do something, whether on the job or whether in a relationship, in a friendship. You know, I've been in a restaurant before, and I've had the waitress say, "Oh, I'll get that for you, I promise." And we paid the bill still waiting for the promise and left. Well, you know, and we didn't not pay the tip. We paid the tip, you know, because that's what the honorable thing to do is. But she never did bring what she promised, you know. So we find that in things. Well, I promise you're going to get a raise if you do this for 6 months. You know, and the raise never comes. I promise you, Mom and Dad, that I'll be home at the time you tell me to be home. I promise, let me go. And we see those promises broken often. But today I want to speak to you about the promises that God gives us. The promises that God gives us. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, "For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us." And then in Hebrews 11 and 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." I want to just take a moment there and let you know that we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And sometimes we want to be so part of this world that we want to have everything that the world has. You know, I'm not saying anything against anybody that is wanting to prosper, wanting to be able to provide, wanting to be comfortable. I'm not saying any negative towards that. But I will say to you that America has taken the gospel and shaped the gospel around America, not around the world. I've been in third world countries, and people are just happy to be saved. People realize they're on their way to a glorious heaven. I know what it says in John 10:10, that He's given us a life, and that life more abundantly, but if you really study that out, you'll realize that the life He's talking about is the life that we're going to enter into one day in eternity, an abundant life. And if you study the Bible, you'll find that many of God's people that served Him in the Old Testament and in the New Testament struggled, went through sacrifice, and literally to get the word out there, they walked many miles. And if a prophet was a prophet, he dressed poorly, ate locusts, and died young. That doesn't sound like you're prospering there, but you really are. And what I'm trying to say here is that, again, I believe God wants to bless your life. I believe God wants to make sure that you can care for your children. I believe God has opened up doors for you to have work and jobs and get raises and to be able to be respected and have things to say that can help other people grow and be better in life to where they can gain. But I don't believe that we should put our eyes on this earth. I believe we should put our eyes on heaven. We should put our eyes on what God wants us to have. And that is a life abundant. And so you see here that they received the promise. And they were assured of them. And they embraced them. And confessed something, though, that was, instead of saying that they confessed their promise. I know people say all the time, just go ahead, keep speaking your promise, keep speaking your promise. That's okay, too. I've read a lot of books on positive thinking. I've read a lot of books by great men of God and women of God that have spoken things that are simply with positive thought, say the right words, keep confessing it. I understand all these things, but I don't want you or myself or anyone to ever forget the fact that there is a God that has called us out of this world, but we're living in this world. Amen. And so let's look at something that we have to understand, that one of the most important characteristics or properties to remember about a promise from God is that they all find their answer in Christ. God's promises to us, we all find that answer in Christ. And we speak the amen through him to the glory of God. When we say so be it or amen, we believe that God has promised us. We believe that God has spoken something into our life. And I believe that every promise that God gives will come true. I believe that. I've got promises that I'm waiting to come true that God spoke to my heart. When I first came into the church of God, you know, I was excited then, I'm excited now. But I went out and I had my stationery men. I was an evangelist. You know, and I went out and had my stationery made with the Church of God logo. It was different than what we have now. It was the old shield logo. But on that specific stationery, that was my key scripture, 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. I believe that even to this day, 39 years later, I believe God's promises are true. God has spoke things into my life through prophetic word, through his word, and through prayer that I believe will come to pass. I believe it. Have they come to pass yet? No, they haven't. Are they coming? Yes, they are. Amen. And I believe it. Am I going to live sour and sad in despair because they haven't come? No, I'm not. I'm going to believe God for what he said and what he's doing. And as you grow in the Lord, you begin to see the steps that God brings you through to reach in and gather that promise to be able to do something that God has promised you to do. Each promise that you receive must still reside in the knowledge of who Christ Jesus is and what he can do. You know, do you realize who Jesus is this morning? He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Yes, he is. He is the savior of the world. He's the only begotten Son of God. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the Prince of Peace. I can go through a great list for you, either alphabetically, or I can just tell you a lot of things about him. But he is all that the Bible says he is. He's everything in your life that you could ever hope for. He's the best friend you'll ever have. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is the mercy that has saved us and rewritten our life. He is that Savior that reached down into the very darkness of your sin, shined his light on you, pulled you up and set you on the revelation of who he is, and put a new song in your heart and established your goings that others would see that and they would know the Lord. He's the one that heard David's prayer when he said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. He is the one that received his repentant heart. He is the one that died on Calvary's cross that you and I today could be in a church here in America or anywhere in the world praising and worshiping him, acknowledging him because he is God. He is the Christ of your calling, by the way. If it wasn't for Jesus, you wouldn't have a calling. Praise God. He is the one who has given you the calling. And the reason that the enemy fights you so hard is not because of you, it's because of Christ in you. Amen. Amen. Jesus is there. And whether they are present promises or promises to look for with great hope, we have to understand that there are specific types of promises that we can look at here. And I want you to know that there's the now promise. Joseph's interprets the now promises for the baker and the butler, or Jacob's dream of the flocks, or even Laban's dream not to speak good or bad to Jacob. Those are now promises. Those are the things where God is speaking in a dream. We're going to talk about dreams here in a moment, but you're going to see that these things come together, and they're the kind of thing that come now. This is what I want you to do now. You know, and I know that the baker and the butler were looking for great hope when they came out of there. But, you know, the butler made it through, but the baker lost his head. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes we have to understand that these promises do come. And these promises are available for us. Then there's the future promise in your lifetime. Promises on the contingency of your obedience. You know, the if or since promises. You know, we know that Deuteronomy 28 talks about some if promises, if you obey. And you go through those first 14 verses, and man, you're feeling pretty good. But then you read the ones that follow for disobedience, and you're wanting to get back in the first 14 verses again. You know, God is saying, if you do this, I will do this. Since you're like this, I will be this for you. If you continue to follow me, I will bless you. If you walk down the path of righteousness, I will walk with you. See, we have to understand that there is the time in our life that God wants us to know that we have now promises that come immediately to us or within a few days or hours. And those are the now moments in our life that we go, wow, this is fantastic. Then we have the future promises that if we live in obedience are going to come to us and we will be blessed. And then there's the generational promise. Now pay attention. There's the generational promise that's really, really important here. The one that is spoke but will not happen till future generations. In other words, you're living a promise right now, but you won't see it. But if you live your life before your children, and you live your life before your friends and your relatives, and they see that life being lived, and you are literally declaring the promise that you believe that God is speaking into your life. Don't be selfish now. Don't let your flesh get involved here. We heard a great message last week about how the flesh wrestles against our spirit. Don't allow the flesh to all of a sudden dictate to you now and say, well, wait a minute, I want the promise before I die. Friend, I want to take you back to John 10:10. When you die, you're going to get the most abundant life you'll ever hope for forever and ever. You know, even the enemy today is trying to distract us from that and telling us that there are things that aren't really true and that men have put this together in the Bible. And there's a lot of people out there now that are discounting the Word and trying to bring in new types of theology about the rapture and about the soon coming king. You know, we find a lot of things going on that the enemy is trying to sow into the church that's changing doctrinal beliefs. But let me tell you something, when we live a life before our families, before our wives, before our spouses, when we live a life before our employers, when we live a life that people that we're trying to minister to, you know, every week, you know, I speak to about 350 people, you know, and I bring the gospel of Jesus Christ in a 6-minute message and call for salvation. And every week at the end, we get together, we circle, we pray hands, and hold our hands and we pray. And I say this, Lord, we claim this property for your kingdom. Thank you for allowing us to live out acts of love before people. You see, and they see this acts of love. They see these acts. And we may never see their salvation. We may never see their children's children that came forth and they said, my grandfather or my father gave his heart to the Lord and is living in a great area now. And yet the person that blessed and spoke those words into his life, he's no longer here. Or somebody else could be like that. Hear me now. There's generational promises. Don't try to embrace a generational promise because you can get into despair because it doesn't come to pass. That's why they look to this earth. That's why they said, we're just sojourners here. We're visitors here. Friend, I'm looking for heaven. I don't know about you. I'm looking for a glorious heaven. I'm looking to walk with Jesus Christ throughout the universe. I'm looking to be with the saints that have gone ahead. I can't wait to talk to Peter and Paul. I can't wait to talk to Moses. I can't wait to talk to Isaiah. I can't wait to talk to Jeremiah. I can't wait to talk to Ezekiel. I can't wait to talk to Deborah. I can't wait to talk to those people that went before us, that made our paths where we are today, and to be able to say thank you to them for not giving up your faith. Amen. For not being so concerned about a promise, but you were more concerned about living for God. And if the promise comes, praise God, I'll get it. But if it's a generational promise, I'm going to move forward because I believed it, I embraced it, and I'm confessing it, and I know it came from God. Can you say amen? I really believe that with all my heart. Promises can come through prayer. When you pray, you know, they can come through prayer. I've had God give me prayer promises when I'm praying. He would tell me that this person's going to be all right. He would tell me that this person's going to be healed. He would tell me that this church is going to go this direction and he's going to lead it. He would tell me promises that he's going to prosper and it's going to be okay. You know, I like the "it's going to be okay" promise from God. How about you? I just like hearing his voice saying it's going to be okay. Amen. Sometimes the struggles of life get so tough. You're just looking for an "it's going to be okay" promise. Amen. It's going to be all right. Praise God. And you can get promises that come through prophetic utterances by a known prophet. Oh, there's so many people out there today that want to call themselves prophets and want to be able to speak things into people's lives and want to say things, and they want to say it with a "thus saith the Lord," and "this is what Jesus has told me to tell you." And sometimes you're looking at them and they're giving you the word and you're trying to be grateful, but you're looking at them cross-eyed like, "what are you talking about? My name's not Dennis, I'm Bob." You know what I mean? And you're trying to get everything together and you're trying to figure it all out, and they're saying all sorts of things to you. Let me tell you what I do when somebody from that rock of life or anybody gives me a promise. I'll receive it, but I won't take it in. Do you hear what I just said? I'll receive it, but I won't take it in. If it comes to pass, praise God. If it doesn't, I'm moving forward. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I think it's important we understand that promises do come through prophetic utterances. You may be in a sanctuary somewhere. You may be in a great meeting hall somewhere. You could even be sitting in your car and someone on the radio speaks something. But you know that it was for you. You could be reading the word. Praise God. And all of a sudden that you could take something from the word that you could say, "that's for me. That's a promise for me, and I'm going to embrace that, and I'm going to use that, and I'm going to live that out for the rest of my life." Are you with me, church? Do you understand where I'm taking you right now? I'm trying to tell you that there are promises that come true. The devil today is trying to get the church across America to forget about God and start to rely on a nation's political system, to rely on men, to rely on just people of flesh, and not rely on God. Friend, I have no reliance on the people of flesh, no reliance on men. I have no reliance on our political system. I have reliance totally on the Lord our God. Amen. He's the King of kings and the Lord of glory. Promises can come through a dream, similar to Joseph's dreams and Jacob's dreams. How wonderful dreams are. And we're going to speak about those and how great it is. And let's look at dreams for just a few moments today. I know some of you dream. If you've never had a dream, you probably didn't recognize it. Everyone dreams. And oftentimes if you don't pray before you go to bed, you get dreams that scare you. Dreams that are not good. And because you haven't prayed, you haven't read the word, you haven't sanctified your mind. or you've watched something that you should not be watching, and it's in your mind and it's there. Do you understand that the Bible wants us to have a renewed mind? You know, every night before I go to sleep, I pray. Every night. Praise God. Why do you say that all the time, Pastor? Because I'm trying to get it into your spirit. Amen. I'm not bragging on anything, praise God, because I am nothing without Him. But with Him, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen. And listen, I'll tell you, I pray because I want to talk to God about you. I want to call out your name, and I want to speak before the throne of mercy and grace about you and your children and your future. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And let me tell you something. I read God's Word. I let His Word be the last thing that my spirit receives. Oh, I get tempted. I want to go out to the TV and turn on Apple TV or turn on DirecTV or turn on some sort of film that I could watch and everything. But you know what? That's just going to keep me awake. But I read the Word. I can go to sleep in peace. And I can dream dreams if God gives me a dream. And I can have that that can happen through something that would happen in my life from reading the Word. Dreams can come at night or they can come in the day. You can also understand that because they are also visions of the day is what they would be called. And you can get something from the Lord. Some dreams bring great peace and understanding, and others bring fear and horror and need interpretation. I've had a lot of people come and ask me for dream interpretation, and I don't like to do it, and if I do it, it has to be from the Lord. I won't do it unless the Lord gives me the interpretation. I remember being in a church that I was pastoring one time, and these people were attending. You know, I knew they were a bit flaky, and I'll tell you why. It wasn't because they were attending. I just knew they were a bit flaky because one of them told me, they came into the office and they sat down. And I had an upstairs office in this church, and big, beautiful office, and it just was decorated to the max, and it was just big, beautiful walnut desk and everything. And I always felt like a little humbled walking in there, but, you know, big old leather chair. I thought maybe I should run for president or something. But the bottom line is that there it was, and they came in, they sat in this chairs and kind of a horseshoe around the desk, and they began to explain to me what they saw in service last Sunday evening. You know, they said, I saw this one person. And when they spoke and when they were getting up and testifying, they saw smoke and fire coming out of their mouth, and around their neck was a snake. And I'm going, okay, did you see that? They said, yes, we did. I said, okay, what else did you see? They said, we saw in the sanctuary demonic powers just moving all over the place. I said, okay, well, that's nice. I want to thank you for coming by today. And they said, we want to know if you witnessed this. I said, I want to thank you for coming by today. And I want you to know that I'm so appreciative of your visit today. Well, it sounds like you don't want to hear this. I said, I am so glad you came by today. And I'm so appreciative that you wanted to share that with me. Well, let me tell you something. We can tell the pastor you don't really believe in this. I said, I am so glad you came by today. I am so appreciative that you brought this to my office. And they said, well, can we leave our card with you? And I said, well, most definitely you can. Just set it right there on the edge of the desk. And I so appreciate you coming by today. And I really was pleased with just having your presence in this office. Well, they stormed off, and I opened up and I looked at the card and said, you know, Eagles of Interpretation, call us. We will give all your interpretations to all your dreams. And I looked at that. I prayed in the name of Jesus, and I walked it over to that little receptacle that was square in this office, and I dropped it, and it hit the bottom of it, and I said, Jesus, I just say this out loud to you. I rinse my office of these spirits, and if they come back, we are not going to receive them in. Well, of course, they didn't come back because I appreciated their visit in the office so much. But let me tell you something. You know, dreams can also come with promises and may also need interpretation, as we have already saying. Now, you may get a promise from God and you may want to figure this out. What does this mean? First thing you should do is you should go to prayer. If God has spoke to you in a dream, you should go to prayer. You know, you don't have to dial 1-800 dream interpretation. You don't have to dial somebody on the phone saying, I just had a dream. No, go to the one who gave you the dream, if it was from God. Ask God to show you. He'll show you. He'll let you know. And Joseph dreamed and spoke them to his brothers. Amazing. He had dreams and he went and he spoke to his brothers, and his brothers and his father, they lost respect for him because of what they heard. They became very jealous to the point of removing him from the family. You see, when you really question God and you got a secular family around you, that's why you don't get invited to Thanksgiving. That's why you don't get invited over to the movie or the picnic that day. They didn't forget your number. It's just that you're going to come over, you're a Christian, they're going to be drinking, they're going to be cussing, they're going to be flipping burgers and looking at each other, you know, looking at one another with lust and everything else. They're going to have, you know, they're just enjoying life, and you're over there talking about Jesus. Jesus makes them uncomfortable. It's not you, it's the one you brought with you. See, they invited you, but you invited Jesus. Amen. Someone raise their hand and say, that's what I understand what that is. So you can just go ahead. But sometimes when you tell people what's going on in your life, your secular family, or even some folks that aren't spiritual in church, and you tell them what God is doing in your life, like God promises me great things. He's told me I got a great future. And they're looking at you like, okay, glad you came by. Glad you stopped by my office today. I really appreciate your words. And they don't really get it. They don't get it because they don't have it. It's your promise. It's yours. Amen. God doesn't want you to share it everywhere you go. It's yours. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. God wants you to know that, amen, that whatever belongs to you is yours and no man can take it. Oh, we can look at the pit, the prison, and the palace scenario with Joseph, but we don't need to do that. That's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the now promises, the near future promises, and the generational promises that come. I want to tell you that how beautiful it is to get a dream from the Lord, and how beautiful it is to dream something that you want, to dream about success for your church, to dream about success for your ministry, to dream about speaking the gospel globally, to dream about speaking it nationally, to dream about speaking it in your region where you're located. And understand that dream about speaking even where you are attending the church in your city, whatever it may be. Dream about it. What I wrote in a Twitter the other day to somebody because they needed me to, they were asking me about some things, and I just kind of Twittered it out to them, or a text. I don't remember what, I think it was a Twitter, actually. I said this, dream big. Small dreams are okay, but they don't last long. Dream big. Small dreams are okay, but they don't last long. In other words, you can just have that dream, it's gone. I like dreaming. I like thinking about what God can do. Praise God. Sometimes I sit in the traffic going down 880 or going down some other highway that I'm on, and I'm on the road a lot, and I get stuck in that traffic. I start dreaming about all these folks getting saved around me. I start dreaming about how cool that would be if all of a sudden they rolled down the windows and said, "You know, Jesus, I need help," and I rolled down my window. Yes, I do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's pull over to the exit there and talk about the Lord today. But let me tell you something, how beautiful it is to know. What does the Bible say? We find something that's so important for our life in Jeremiah 29. We only quote part of it. But I'm going to take the whole meaning of it right now and give it to you what the Holy Spirit said to do. Last night when I was typing out the message, I'd been playing with it and toying with it, praying with it all week long, when the Spirit of the Lord spoke into my heart what to speak. And I just last night, it was just, I started typing this out, and when the Holy Spirit dropped this right in, he said, "Now this is why I gave you the message, amen. So pay attention if you're falling asleep on me. Wake up, because this is where what is going to make a difference in your life. Praise God, this is what it's going to be for you right now. Listen to what God is saying to your life. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. "For I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, says the Lord. thoughts and plans of welfare and peace and not for evil to give you hope in your final outcome. Then you will call upon me. Then means when you receive what I just said, when you receive the future that I'm giving to you, when you believe that I'm going to be there for you, and it's not evil, but it's going to have a hope, and it's going to be a future that is going to be full of peace and in your and welfare. Listen, he says, then you will call upon me and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Wow. Then, you know, we all want to just quote that hope scripture there, 29:11, and just sit there and hang out. And God said, when you get it, then when you call upon me, I'm going to come and I'm going to heed you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to ask for what you're asking and I'm going to respond. Then you will seek me, inquire for and require of me as a vital necessity. And I'm going to break this down in a minute. And finally, you will know what it is to have a vital necessity. Let me continue. And find me when you search for me with all your heart. Let me tell you, when you're searching for God because of your dream, you're not searching for God with all your heart. God doesn't want to share anything about you except Him and you. God knows where He's taking you. How many, do you realize that God knows your tomorrow? You teenagers, do you realize that you got a generation before you? Do you realize that you got a life before you and you're playing sometimes with the world? You're out there thinking that the world's going to bless you and give to you. You're looking for, you're targeting pleasurable things to do, and you're targeting these things that all my friends are into. My friend, let me tell you something. I've been there. The biggest regret I ever had in my life was staying there too long. I'm not sensationalizing it. I'm telling you, it is not good. Get into the kingdom. Get into the gospel. Don't have pre-marital sex. Don't get involved with drugs. Don't get involved with alcohol. Don't get involved with homosexuality and lesbianism. Don't get involved with those things that are cause you to miss God. Get involved with the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. He is your Savior forevermore. I will be found by you. Like, don't hear me on this. I will be found by you. You see, God wants you to find. God wants you to find Him. That's why I pray so much, church. I love finding. Every morning I get up. And if I don't make it first thing in the morning because of, you know, sometimes I get up and it's a text I got to get on. Sometimes I get up in the morning, it's a phone call I got to get on. Sometimes I get up in the morning and Kathy tells me something's up and I got to get right with it. But I find that time during the day and I get on my knees and I begin to pray and I begin to find God because I love to find Him. Says the Lord, and I will release you from captivity. Oh my God, somebody, I'm about to run the aisles and shout. I will release you from captivity and gather you from all the nations and all the places to which I have driven you, says the Lord. He drove them there because they were obedient. Well, I've always been obedient to God. There you go, lying right there. You just miss it. He drove them there. Says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Let me just break this down for you really quick. God knows what He has promised into your life and future. God knows that more than you know it yourself, because daily people doubt what God said. go right after you receive a promise from God. Things don't always go like, you know, God told me the church was going to be full. And then all of a sudden your church, your pastor is going empty on you. You're looking for the next filling station where you can put in the hose and get people. Praise God. You know, or God tells somebody in the congregation, well, God told me this church was going to be running 200 one day. And they leave. Come on, folks! Hello! Someone shout, I don't know that guy, I don't know what's up, but I'm trying to tell you right now, God knows your future. When the promise comes from God, it may not look really good right away. Oh, I don't want to hear this, Pastor. I want to hear you say, when God promises, it's going to happen right away. When God said my kids are going to be saved, it's going to happen right away. I've been praying for my children for 39 years. Praying for them to be in the kingdom. Praying for them to be saved. I call my daughter in Tennessee every week. You going to church someday? My God, she lives in Cleveland. So she had the audacity to tell me the other week, Dad, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. So I waited a week. And I called her back. And I said, you know what? Going to church doesn't make you a Christian, but if you're a Christian, you want to be in church. She went silent. So yesterday I called her and I said, you going to church? Right? Yeah, we're going to church tomorrow, Dad. So I don't know whether I'm going to go to that big revival down there in Chattanooga or go to the church in Ottawa. And go to the church that's really close. She says, and then she says, it's not hard finding a church in Cleveland. I said, you got it. You see, when you get older, you get wise. In my younger days, when she would have said that to me, I would say, if you get to church, I'm going to fly out there and drag you to church. But I was going to wait the Holy Spirit to get a hold of her. Not hard. She says, not hard to find a church. Because all my friends are going to the one, this big revival down there in Ottawa right now and in Chattanooga. They're getting healed. One of them put on Facebook, she's got a revival hangover. And I'm thinking, get to that church. She goes, I don't want to drive that far, Dad. I said, then get to the church that's close, but get there. So praise God, Dad will call her today, and I will say, how was service? You see, and I got a boy who's been speaking to me recently. He said, you know, we want to come to the church in Santa Cruz. He's speaking it. It hasn't happened, but it's out there. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forevermore. You see, you just got to believe. And nothing evil but what welfare, happiness, and peace. God has nothing evil for your future but happiness. So you say, Pastor, I'm not happy. Come on now. Don't lie to yourself in the mirror and say you're happy, because the mirror you're looking at right now says some of you ain't happy. I'm telling you, God has welfare and peace for you and your future. You know, look beyond the problem and look to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. It may not be here now, but friend of mine, it is coming. Amen. A hope that fails not all the way to your final outcome when you step from here into eternity. He's speaking about. Because of this, when you seek me, inquire of me, require of me, that vivacious necessity, in other words, you come to the place where it's not about texting, it's not about FB, it's not about Twittering, it's not about getting a hold of all your peeps and letting them see how wise you are and everything that you can say. It's about getting on your face before God and saying, God, I tried everything I could. I've spoken to the pastor. I've spoken on Facebook. I've done everything I possibly can. I've tried to friend people that would friend me back. I've tried everything I can, God, so forgive me. You are the one I was looking for all the time. And go ahead and ask God, could I be your friend on Facebook? Whatever it may be. But please, please know that God is your friend. Are you with me? God wants you just vigorously, intentionally, You will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Not just humanity is so fun. Will, this is what I was speaking to you about a little bit. Humanity is so much fun. Our flesh wants to lie to us and tell us we're really seeking God, as our mind is elsewhere. As we're praying, we're looking to see how much longer we should pray. Let me tell you something. You go out on a date with somebody, ladies, guys, you go out on a date, and you're talking to that person, and you know they're not listening, they're not there with you. Their mind is elsewhere. If they're looking at their watch like that, they're wanting to get out of the date as quick as possible. You understand what I'm saying? God is wiser than that. He wants your mind. He wants your heart. He wants your humanity just lying before him as a puddle melting before him, saying, God, I'm not leaving till I hear from you. He wants you to cross the brook. He wants you to come back from prayer with a limp. Praise God. You may not limp physically, but he wants you to always remember the time that he took you and he prayed and wrestled with you, and you said, God, I'm not going to let go of this time till you bless me. I will be found and released. In other words, an emancipation will happen for you from your captivity. See what God's saying? I'm going to find you where you are, and I'm going to bring you back where you need to be, where I sent you to captivity. Am I speaking to your heart today? What's he releasing me from? What captivity? From your fears. From your doubts. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Listen, teenager. Stop my nose. Listen here. Y'all taken care of. Laundry's done. Food's on the table. Your schooling's paid for. You get the pat on the back. You get to go to the chop shop. You get all this stuff, man. You get all the cars given, all the gas, the insurance, the medical. You don't have any fears. You don't have any doubts. Mom and dad, or dad's there, if it's a single family home, or mom's there, you don't have those things. If you're a normal teenager, when you drop your drawers on the ground, mom picks them up. Come on now. You don't have any labors in the household. Come on. Look at the parents defending the kids already. See, you got them defending you against the preacher already. Let me tell you, you don't have any fear. But life is going to come to you one day when you're 21. And mom and dad cannot and will not take care of everything for you. And you walk out there in that world, and all of a sudden that world starts to hit you, and then fears grab a hold of you, and doubts start to come. Let me tell you how you walk into a world that's going to be yours in your young life. You walk in it with God leading you. You get to church every Sunday or to a Bible study somewhere in your college career. You get to a group of Christians that are going to pray with you, and you're going to pray with them, and you're going to have friends with them. And again, keep yourself pure till you get married.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
From your doubts, from your own reasoning, God will never do this way. Read the book. Read the Bible. God does things his way and only his way. I don't know how anybody. I'm getting a little bit annoyed here. I may preach in a moment. I don't know how anybody sins for the week and preaches from the pulpit. My God, you're testing God. Pastor, you don't know because you've never been through anything. I looked at him. I remember one day he was drunk as a skunk. I was drunk at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'd given my heart to the Lord, but I was drunk. Just got through drinking a bottle of Chardonnay from Bargetto's Winery in my antique store there in SoCal, California, Adam's Old and Golden Antiques. And then walked a woman who had been in our church the night before, our father's house, across from Shopper's Corner on Branson 40 and SoCal Avenue in Santa Cruz. My father-in-law was the pastor. It was 10 in the morning. I just drank a bottle of red wine, good wine, all by my lonesome. There was no one there, and I was just testing it out. She come in. She sat down across this old oak wooden clawfoot table. Beautiful table, by the way. Pressed back chairs and mastered. She sat down, and I sat down. I had up on my sign up there and said, ask me about my warehouse and Jesus, because I had a warehouse across the street. So I was, you know, had a life now. I wasn't dealing drugs. I'd given my heart to the Lord. I was paying my tithes at the church. I was renting the building for the pastor, $1,500 a month that I was paying for it. I was a wealthy antique dealer. I was a Christian. I was drunk. Telling people, oh, by the way, on the top of my roll top desk over there that I had for sale, I had the pulpit commentary, all 23 volumes up there. I was a Christian, but I was drunk. I had reasoned out in my mind that I could get drunk at 10 o'clock in the morning. It was my antique business. God gave it to me. I'm representing him by the chalkboard. I got Bible commentaries over here. Praise God. And I'm not smoking dope anymore or anything. I'm drunk. She sat down and said, Pastor Adams, I said, I'm not a pastor. I'm just there to help a father-in-law. She goes, I think you are a pastor. So God says, she said, I need your help. I need to speak to a pastor. God told me to come and talk to you. My husband's home drunk right now. Can you give me some words? The Spirit of the Lord said this to me. How can you help someone in that condition? When you're in that condition right now without conviction. I learned you cannot be anointed of God and declare his word when you're living in sin. There is a sacrifice and a price to be paid. There's a life of dedication that comes. Stop reasoning in your mind how God is and get into the Bible and find out how he really is. That night, I went up to a prayer meeting in Felton, California, an old school, Assemblies of God, tongue-talking, retired preachers in their late 70s, just retired from their church up there. Went there. I don't even know how I knew where their house was. I just drove up into the Felton and the Holy Spirit led me there. Never been there before. They were having a prayer meeting. I said, I need to be prayed for alcohol. And that night I was delivered, set free. And the next time I saw that woman, I said, I got some words here for you. I want to talk to you. Tell him this is what I want you to do. Talk to your husband. Met with him. He got delivered. Free from your frustrations. Free from your failures. Free from your difficulties. Free from your problems. Free from your sin. He
emancipated because you have sought Him with all your heart. You have sought God with everything you are made up with. Every breath, every thought, every heartbeat, every molecule of your body has cried out to God saying, Father, I need you. I want to be happy. You promised me happiness and peace, and you found God.
Amen. I'll bring you from wherever you are, he said, and I'll bring you back to the place where you left me. And I will take you where you allowed me to take you into captivity. I will take you from. You did not trust my promise or my dreams, which I gave you. You see, Joseph never gave up believing. Never. From wherever he was in his life, he never gave up dreaming. I'm telling you, I don't know anybody like that. He didn't give up his dream. He never let anything or anyone cause him to display the countenance of doubt or despair. He believed God. He was alone with that woman. If he would have had relationships with her, she wouldn't have said a word. She would have owned him, and he knew that. Watch out, sin will try to own you. It'll keep you. Teenager, listen to me. The Holy Spirit again says to speak to your spirit. Sin will try to own you. It'll try to capture you. It'll keep you, and it'll own you, and it'll declare to you what sin wants you to hear. Don't let sin own you. When I think about New Testament, I think about people like Stephen, who stood there before the laborers of the law and received stones to his body and his head and said, God, forgive them. He lived a life where Paul himself, Saul at that time, saw a Christian dying but looking up into the face of God. I think about Paul himself, who said the last moment of his life, I have fought the good fight of faith. You know, we all want to act out these people, but you need to act out their character. Not their name, but their character. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Somebody just said, I don't want to be like you, preacher. I don't want to live that. I don't want to shout like that. I don't want to do that. Let me tell you, you just maybe become like a preacher one day. Hallelujah. And you may shout it. And you may tell somebody. And you may say, no, no. But God is reaching. Reaching. Timothy, what did Paul say? Preach the word. Don't hold back. Have faith. Don't let anybody cause you to feel bad because you're young. Hallelujah. Peter hung upside down, crucified upside down. Jesus prophesied this would happen to his life. He was crucified upside down. The devil will sift you. And John in the island of Patmos burned in oil from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. His whole body burnt in oil. Taken out of that pot of oil that was so hot. Spewed out. Sent to an island, and there he saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory in his glory. He knew that God would pour out His Spirit in the last days. Joel 2:28-29, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. The Holy Ghost and power would be established in the hearts and the minds of people. You can't play with the Holy Ghost. The only reason that you pray in the Spirit when you're in sin is because His gifts and callings are a lot of repentance. The only reason that you do things in sin that you continue to do is because God doesn't call His gift back. But oh, 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 what He'll do if you continue in that sin. God will send promises to Jesus' bride, and she will live and move in power. What's happened with the church today in America? She's not living or moving in power. Has she forgotten who she is married to? Jesus, the sanctifier, the Savior of the world. No matter what happens, He is able. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think, according to the power that works within Him. But God, who is rich in mercy, we've been saved by grace through faith. But God, when I was in a time of struggle, He pulled me out. But God, when I was in a time of disease, He healed me. But God, when I needed a blessing from someone to be able to keep going and feed my family. But God! I've had a lot of but God moments in my life, and I've had a lot of He is able moments in my life, because I believe nothing is too hard for the Lord. See, you've got to stop reasoning it out. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Step into your promise today. Dream your dream. Move and walk as you own what He has given you. Now and in the future. Or generational, what your children will receive. But never give up your dream. Never give up your dream. Never. But as long as you're dreaming the world, young person, as long as you're dreaming about getting out of the house, getting away, and you're dreaming about the world, you'll not get a dream from God, because you've blocked God in your life. What you need to do is start to dream what God has for you, what God wants for you, and what God desires for you. Then live a life that says, I trust and believe in God. Don't listen to Hollywood, by the way. All they want you to do is live like hell, like you're going to heaven. Let me close. His promises are yes and amen, so be it. But we must be centered on Christ, and everything we do must do through Him. To give the glory to God. Every soul saved. Every person sanctified. Every person delivered. Every person healed. Every person baptized in the Holy Ghost. Every person that God gifts. We must center on Jesus Christ. Those that live this life are written about in the Word of God. Live to see the day when we would all be gathered together with Him in glory. I want to ask you today, what is it in your life that is keeping you from dreaming your dream?